Your Zest Life is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com, Boise, or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. All right. Welcome back. My name is Genevieve. I am your host of Your Zest Life, and it is a really special day today. Well, one, because this is episode 4 of Your Zest Life. I'm so happy you're back. Two, it's my birthday. And okay, three things. I have two very special guests with me today. They're my mom and my dad. Hi, mom. Hi, dad.
Good morning.
Happy birthday. Good morning. How are you guys?
Awesome. So good.
So good.
So good.
It's your birthday. Good.
How can it's it my be birthday. I got to tell you, this probably will not be the most serious podcast ever. I don't know, but maybe. Who knows?
Not at all.
Not at all. We don't take ourselves too seriously.
We're going to try to be on our best behavior.
Yes. We had the pep talk.
I did.
Behave. Oh, behave. Name that movie. I don't know.
What's his name?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I'll call him. Oh, wait, what is that movie?
The Austin Powers.
Austin Powers. Good job. 1 point.
Good.
Track points.
Oh, dang it.
Good. Now
it's a game.
Now I want to win.
We're also a very competitive family, if you can't tell. Yes. We do game nights.
I need a pen to keep track of my points.
I think we retired Scrabble because we got so competitive. It was like every word we came out with, where's the dictionary?
It's a war.
It's a war.
We just had to put a little rubber bracket around all the game pieces because mom was throwing them at us.
I did.
Oh, boy.
You guys saw me say that. I did not.
Oh, boy. Well,
here we go.
Here we go. You get a little glimpse into the inside scoop of what we're really like, why I am the way I am.
So scary.
Oh, well, I'm so happy you guys are here today. Thank you for taking time out of your, I know Friday mornings are your time to go on a bike ride, and this is like prime time for you to be riding. So thank you for foregoing your bike ride and being here today. I guess it helps that we're across the street from Guru, though, right?
Yeah, and we got a short ride in.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a beautiful morning to ride.
It's so beautiful. So beautiful. Getting some of this smoke out of here. Hopefully some more, but... Well, I'm excited because before this, I also asked some of the... When I say our Life Zest listeners, I mean, like, we probably have, like, 5 right now, but it's growing every day. And they asked some questions. I had some questions. And in our last podcast, I had Lauren from Inner Rebel on, and we were talking about the importance of asking questions in general, but also asking other generations questions.
Are you calling us old?
No, that's kindly putting.
Yes, you are.
Some old
other generations, which we will not say what. But you know, the importance of, like, I know dad, when we were on our road trip. So again, if people listen to the last podcast, I talked about our trip and seeing Reba and our girls' annual trip that we would go on. And just, there were stories you were telling me in the car that I'd never heard. I'm like, why is this the first time in my 32 years that I haven't heard these before?
And it's because your mother wasn't with us and I was free to tell them.
Yeah, he tells some good stories, mom.
Oh, Lord.
But I love something that your mom did, dad, is she put together a book of every person in our family and aligned it with pictures and numbers and stories. And it's going to be really interesting to sit down and get to listen and read those. So the idea today is, I don't know, maybe I'll hear something that I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the people will understand why, you know, I think that a lot of who I am is because of you guys and how you raised me. You know, you guys have been happily married for 32 plus years. And I'm curious, you know, this being that this podcast is all about finding your zest for life. One, what do you think it means to have zest for life, or how do you have zest for life? And how do you guys find and maintain zest in your relationship?
Oh boy.
We're getting really deep really quick.
Oh. Go ahead. I'm really curious to hear what you have to say. Go ahead, honey.
Zest for life. That's a it's a interesting term. And in thinking about what is zest for life, or what does zest mean to me? I mean, what comes to my mind right off, you know, I enjoy doing some cooking and barbecuing, et cetera. But, you know, certain recipes will call for zest of one lime or zest of one lemon. And, you know, so to me, that's meaning you're trying to bring a very special flavor or experience from something that might be more common, right?
Yeah.
But you're taking something from that adds a little extra zest or zing or flavor. So, you know, looking for something that is common within your world or your environment, and making something special out of it, and something that you know, adds to the, in this example, adds to the recipe or adds to the flavors of your normal life.
So. I really like that. I like how you said finding something that's normal or something that you would find regularly in your life, and finding a way to, you know, make it vibrant. You know, I think a lot of times, especially in this day and age where social media, you see everything, mm-hmm. and people are showing all their highlights. And, you know, I know for us, travel's a big thing where I'm like, we need to be going somewhere every single month. It needs to be extravagant. It needs to be wild. Every day needs to be the best day. But rather, I've found some of our favorite days in this past year, right, with quarantining together, mm-hmm. and learning a lot about each other. But like, some of my favorite memories have been, you know, the time that we spend with our dogs, and just
exactly.
going outside, and things that are normal, mm-hmm. and that are around us. But it's how you, it's perspective, I think, mm-hmm. you would say in that point. But
yeah.
Oh, I really like that. So I'll get back to you about the second part of that, because Mom, I want to hear what you have to, what you think.
Oh, that is so hard to follow.
When you start talking about festival, I'm like, okay, yes.
Well, the thing that I think of is I have done some really, for a woman, unusual things in my life. I've been in the Army, which is really unusual for a woman. When I joined, less than 7% of the force was women, were women. And, you know, I did a solo bicycle trip, self-contained for 3 months, where I biked from Iowa to the Oregon coast and back again. And we moved a lot and we traveled a lot. And so for me, when I think of zest, and the thing that I have really been encouraging myself to do is, even I've done these phenomenal things, mm. and I need to continue to test myself, to do things that make me uncomfortable, but they don't have to be those huge things. Mm-hmm. So it kind of aligns with totally. What you said, honey. And so they may be little things like speaking in public or doing the things that I've been doing the past couple of years, like when I worked at Crater Lake. So doing those things that make me uncomfortable, things that I say, eh, I really don't want to do this. This mm-hmm. is scary. I am uncomfortable. I just want to sit and read my book and bike. But I tell myself that I need to keep doing those things that make me uncomfortable so that I continue to grow as a person. Mm. Those are zesty things.
Totally. Well, and yeah. I want to go back to what you talked about with Crater Lake, because, you know, we grew up in a family that I don't think any family is really normal, right? I think we're like, oh, we're not normal. We're very different. Everyone has their own things. But really, like, our summers were very different than, like, my friend's summers. And the adventures we would go on were very different. And as I've gotten older, something that I've realized is, like, our family was really cool. Like, I wish I could tell my 16-year-old self, like, maybe tell your mom she's actually kind of cool. Might make her happy.
Well, no, you know what you said to me one time?
Oh, boy.
No, you did. You were in junior high.
I know. I was not the best teenager.
No, you were great. Oh, honey, you were great.
I know.
But you said to me one time.
I'm nervous now.
You said, why can't you be like other moms?
Oh, yeah. I bet I did.
So I said to one of my friends, I said, what do other moms do?
Well, and you were such a, like...
Watch it. Careful.
I know. Well,
I was weird. I was weird.
No, you're really weird. But I love that about you. Like, it's not... I don't know. When people are like, I'm so embarrassed by my parents. I was actually like, I think it was cool to be embarrassed by your parents. So I'd be like, yeah, I'm so embarrassed too. But I remember like coming home and there was fresh cookies right from scratch. Like, you made everything from scratch. That is, I'm going through a health coaching training right now. And one of the things is talking about your history with food and your relationship with it growing up and some of your memories. And that was something that, you know, we got homemade cookies on our birthday. We got a homemade chocolate cake, which I'm still waiting and I don't see in this room.
Ooh, yeah,
but it's
about
okay,
that this
sore subject. And we got it on the This Is Your Day Celebrate blue plate. Anyways, going back though to Crater Lake, what I really admired was that what we did was not in the norm of trips, right? We had an 89 Subaru. Tell the Heater Hill story. So a little background, we would go on a girls road trip every summer, right? Let me ask you, how did that start? Like, when was the first girls trip? How did this idea come up? And then tell us about Heater Hill.
I will. So the girls trip started when you were 10 months old. And so in 1988 is when I had done my 3-month bicycle tour. I can't even tell you how many miles I did, but it was for 3 months on the road, wow. You know, fully contained. I carried all my gear. I camped. I made up my route. I didn't really follow any maps of other bicycle routes. I just kind of did my thing. And as I was going, if somebody said, hey, you need to go to Glacier National Park, and I'm from Iowa, so I'd never heard of Glacier National Park before. But if somebody said, this is something that you need to see, I just totally changed my route. I mean, it was very kind of spontaneous on the trip. So anyway, I'd done that in 1988. In 1989, I had you. And then the following year in 1990, I mean, it just was natural to just go on a bike trip. So you were 10 months old, and we went on a 10-day bicycle tour. And we biked from Spokane, Washington, we went into Idaho, and we biked to Glacier National Park. And that was our first girls' trip. And then every year after that, we went someplace different. You know, when we lived in the Midwest, we went up to Wisconsin and we went camping. It was just that time for us to be on the road and to camp and to spend time together and explore and be spontaneous and discover things. You know, we would be driving along, we would be in Oregon, and we'd see a sign for a waterfall, and we'd just be like,
oh, we love waterfalls.
And we'd pull over, and we'd hike to the waterfall, or we would see a swimming pool someplace, and we would pull over. And it, you know, it was nice because there were really no definite destination. Like, this is where we're going to end up. It was just kind of going with it and just seeing what looks good. It was so wonderful. Oh, I miss those trips.
Me too.
That's how it started.
Yeah. And going on our road trip, I'm like, oh man, okay, we need to do this like every summer again. Because it was, I remember as we got older, it was one of those things where, you know, we would go for a week.
Two weeks. Yeah. And then you guys got older and then you like wanted to be with your friends. You're like, oh my gosh, let's get home.
Oh my gosh. I remember towards the end of those trips where it was like, I'd like sneak my straightener into my bag. Like, where am I going to find a straightener in the middle of the forest? Like, I don't know what I was thinking. We go to like a public bathroom in Starbucks. I'm like, plug in your straightener. This is your only time. But tell me some funny stories about our girls' road trips. And about Heater Hill, because I still think, even when I'm in my Subaru now, I'm like, you got this, girl. You got this.
Well, our Subaru, her name was Zena.
Mm-hmm. warrior princess.
Yeah, she was a warrior princess. And we did not have air conditioning in it. And I don't think it was a very powerful engine in the Subaru, right, honey?
It's a Subaru. You don't need to say anything else.
2 horsepower.
And so it would be in Central Oregon. I can't remember the name of the town, but it was Central Oregon. And it was always extremely hot. It seems like we were there like in July or August. And it was a long hill coming out of this town. And long and winding. And the engine every time would start to overheat. And then to draw the heat off the engine, we'd have to turn on the heat. In the car. I mean, I don't know how that works, but that's what Dad told me to do. So yeah, so it would be like 100 degrees out and we'd have to turn on the heater so that we didn't overheat and get stuck in the middle of Central Oregon. And then we would cheer Zena on. We were going up Peter Hill. And, come on, Zena, we're almost to the top. You've got this. As the needle is creeping closer and closer to the H symbol.
Gosh.
I know. So
that's when I started talking to inanimate objects.
I know. But we did. But we were all cheering. Like, come on, Zena. We're almost to the top. You can do this.
And you're beat. I just remember you beating on the dashboard.
I would pet
and
it.
And our little hula girl with our skirt falling off.
Yeah, we had a hula girl. Oh, yeah, because the glue started so to melt.
Oh, that's super.
I remember I cried. When it died.
Yeah, and it was covered in bumper stickers across the back. And sometimes Dad would drive it to work, and there was a bumper sticker on the back that said, "The goddess is alive and magic is afoot."
Yeah, people would say you must be a man of extremely high self-confidence to drive that car.
I love that car.
And yep.
But also, what's unique about that car, Genevieve?
I was brought home from the hospital in it.
And?
There's milk stains in it. I don't know. What else?
Well, and that's the car you learned how to drive in, too.
Yeah. And the car we gave you once we got a new car.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. That was a great car.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so attached to Subarus. And when I didn't drive a Subaru, I felt a loss of identity. Like, no, I'm a Subaru through and through. Dad, what are some of your favorite memories of us growing up? Family wise,
I loved when you did your girls trip because that was my vacation.
no doubt.
But then I'd panic the last 2 or 3 days of that, knowing I had to get the house cleaned up. But no, I loved. Your mom has described it pretty well. But again, we weren't a. I mean, there's no such thing as a normal family, but we did a lot of unique things together as a family, and. I mean, from the get-go, I mean, your mom and I, we have wanted you and your sister to be the focus of our lives, and that our decisions were based upon what we thought was best for us as a family and for you two girls in particular. So because of that, you know, your girls' trips with mom is an example of that, and, you know, just some of the other things that we did as a family, you know, we did try to focus as much as we could on being responsible and how we treat our environment, our environment and planet. And so we'd spend a lot of time outdoors and a lot of time doing those types of activities, cycling and hiking and snowshoeing with us as we're getting into that new generation. But snowboarding when you and your sister were younger and. You know, I think, again, just wanting to continue that, that path. We want to, as we get older, spend as much time as we still can with you and your sister. Mm-hmm. And also spend as much time as we can outdoors. Mm-hmm. That's, again, as I alluded to, that's kind of my zest right now.
Mm-hmm.
The outdoors is, it's right here in front of us. And wherever you are in the country or in the world, you have outdoors. And look for, you know, what it is that is unique and fun that you can take from that because it's a pretty inexpensive type activity, right?
Yeah.
Rather than doing something exotic and spending a lot of money on that second or third house or boat or not saying those things aren't fun, but
yeah,
that's what we do. And so again, getting back to your question, growing up, I just really enjoyed being the sole man in a house.
Well, yeah, you had a lot of female energy.
Yeah, except for the dogs.
We could never have a female dog, yeah.
But I think you and your sister made life so zestful, to circle back to that, but really just full of life, full of emotion, full of passion. And you get a lot of that from your mom, thank goodness. But again, that doesn't mean everything was easy, but really just appreciated the energy and the passion that you and your sister both bring within your own lives and back into the family.
And as George Banks would say, we are very passionate.
Oh, man.
We are very passionate. Well, and so one thing in particular I did want to touch on today, because this is something that even now, like Luke and I will be having conversations, and you know, he'll remind me, you know, like the mornings where, like the morning when I had to be at your house, I got to be at your house at 5:15 or 5 or whatever to go. We're training for a gravel ride, end of the summer, 100 miles up by Stanley. And he's like, you're so lucky to get to do this. Like, this is such a great memory you get to make with your dad. And, you know, same with like going on our girls' road trips. And occasionally we'll, you know, talk about how you guys met and kind of the foundation of, you know, this family you've created. So I want for you guys to talk a little bit about your background, because we're a big biker family, huge cyclists. I never would have thought that I would teach indoor cycling, but now it's like segued into my job where I'm just on a bike all the time. So can you tell just a little bit about how you guys met and how this family started?
I want to hear your version. Tell how we met, honey. Let's see if it aligns with my story.
Should I do like write down like on the dating show where it's like, okay, you have 30 seconds, write it down, see if it matches.
Go ahead. Tell how we met, honey.
Yes, we... Both your mother and I were actively into bicycle touring back around that time era. I had also done some self-contained bike trips cross country. I grew up outside of Boston, so my cross country trips were either starting or ending on the coast of New England and heading out to the Northwest coast, or either Oregon or Washington State. And it was something I'd really enjoyed and wanted to, you know, see if I could become even a greater part of my normal daily life, you know, working a regular job. I was working for REI at the time as well. But so I at the time, I was leading bicycle trips for Bike Centennial, which is now known as Adventure Cycling, based out of Missoula, Montana. And they had also asked me if I would be interested in addition to leading bike tours for them, but to be an instructor at their leadership training courses. So one of those was in Virginia on the coast. And in 88.
You mean the year we met?
Yes.
God.
Seriously? Should use whiteboard. Yeah. What year did you meet?
There's strike one. But I was an instructor at one of the leadership training courses, and it was back then I think it was a 7-day course. And your mom was there because she just wanted to learn more about bicycle touring as well and possibly being a leader. And so she was one of the participants in that training class, and that's where we met. And fireworks and
hubba.
And loud boat whistles and bells and all that kind of stuff.
BBB.
Yeah, beautiful blonde biker. Holy cow! Oh, but so we met there, and as we were kind of wrapping up with the course, we decided that we wanted to spend a little bit more time together. So we spent about a week, not a full week, several days continuing to bike together through the Amish land of Pennsylvania. And that's as far as I'm going to go with the story. That's how we met.
Yeah, because I'm going to interject something.
Oh, yes. Okay, here we go.
Okay, so where fact check comes in. Was living in Iowa. And so a friend took me to Virginia for this course and dropped me off. And back then, I did not have a driver's license. So if I had to get somewhere, I had to either bike, walk, take a Greyhound bus, or hitchhike. And so I had to hitchhike back to Iowa. So Dad, and actually we didn't even talk that much during the course.
No bells or whistles or
yeah, when he was saying that, I'm like, I don't even, fireworks? Well, I remember the first time I saw your dad at this training course. But I was going to hitchhike back, and Dad was going to be going, he was going to be driving to Ohio to meet a friend. And so he said, sure, I'll take you to Ohio and I'll drop you off and then you can hitchhike back to Iowa from there. But then when the course ended, we went to Richmond, Virginia to have some lunch. And in our conversation, I said I had never seen the ocean before. I mean, why would I have? I'm from Iowa, you know? And so Dad said, well, I'll show you the ocean. So we went to New Jersey, to Atlantic City to see the ocean. And we decided that we were going to bike together for a week. So we biked in Lancaster County in Pennsylvania, and then Dad needed to get back to Massachusetts. I needed to hitchhike back to Iowa, so he dropped me off at a truck stop in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Romantic.
And I hitchhiked back to Iowa, and then we corresponded.
And end of story.
Yeah.
And here we are 33 years later.
Yeah. It's a good, I love our story.
I do too. I never get tired of it.
It's kind of crazy.
It is. It is. But I love it. And I think it, you know, it's a really great foundation to the lifestyle that you did create, because then, you know, 2 years after I was born, you guys took a trip to Mexico, which every time you guys tell me about this, I feel like I hear something new. Like the other night we were talking about over sushi and was this something you'd always wanted to do, or how did this idea come about?
Again, touring was just a part of what we did. And, you know, I was trying to remember, how did we decide to take a 2-year-old and bike to the most remote part of the United States?
Mm-hmm. Well, we couldn't get a babysitter.
For 2 months, yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking about that this week, and I actually got out the journal that I had kept the whole time that I had never read since keeping it, the journal that I kept when we biked to Mexico. I had never read it before, and I was hoping to find some answers as to why we did that.
Just more questions.
And I didn't find any answers, but reading it reminded me of how so difficult it was, because it was so remote, how difficult it was for us, how difficult it was for you, but still in there having those great and funny stories. But I remember when I was on my trip, my solo trip in 88, that I had met a couple in Yellowstone and they were touring with a child. And I think that in my head that was the next step for us. And I believe that we went to that part of the United States because Dad and I had essentially biked all around the country. And that was the one place we had not biked. And so that is the area that we chose. And it was amazing.
Yeah. But again, it was very fortunate for us, because both your mom and I were working part-time at REI in Spokane. And REI was very supportive of, you know, this type of lifestyle, obviously, being the company, you know, type of gear that they're selling and such. And but also they gave us the opportunity to both take that 3 months leave of absence, but still, you know, have jobs guaranteed when we came back.
Wow.
So that really, you know, took away one challenge or one excuse for not wanting to try something like that, is knowing that, we can leave our jobs, go play, have fun, come back to our jobs again. So that was great.
Wow. Man, and I just think of nowadays, like how many places would do that for their employees, you know? And to let you just leave for 2 months. And you were younger. I think of this now. You were younger than me. Like, I can't even imagine, one, Luke and I. hopping on our bikes, or even taking, I can imagine us doing like a car road trip, because that was when we did long distance. We did a lot of road trips and and we did a lot of car karaoke, but riding on your bikes in the heat through like very remote areas. I mean, I was too, so I don't really remember. I just remember the stories you said, but what was that like when you're in the middle of nowhere and you've got to be conscious of your water supply and your food, and now you have a child with you? Like, it's kind of wild.
It is. It was wild. And actually, you know what? I brought the journal with me.
Oh, okay.
I did.
Wow. This has like never been seen.
Yeah. And so I can actually, do we have time?
Oh,
I can read a page to you, because it actually addresses some of what you're talking about. Now, keep in mind when I read this, some of it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Because I, you know, the days were hot, the days were long, it was remote. You know, biking with somebody else can be difficult, you know.
Totally.
It's very stressful at times.
Yeah.
And then throw into all that a two-year-old.
Potty training.
Oh, yeah. We potty trained you on the trip.
Because how many miles a day, just to give people an idea, because I think if you don't have experience cycling or going on these types of trips, which I don't think a lot of people will, how many miles a day are you riding in this?
Well, we ended up doing, it was a little over 2,500 miles, 2,500 miles for the entire trip. And we didn't just go straight south from Spokane. We went from Spokane, just because the roads are how the roads are in Idaho, right? We went from Spokane up to Missoula, Montana. And then from Missoula, Montana, we dropped down through Idaho, Utah, what other states?
Arizona,
New Mexico, Texas. So it was, you know, an average of 60 miles.
Yeah.
So do you want me to read this?
Almost. Yeah, I would love that.
Do you? Okay.
Now bear in mind, the names have been changed. Except for mine.
So I actually love this particular page. So Thursday morning, we woke early to get ready for our big ride. It was 60 miles to Green River, Utah, 6 miles to the town of Wellington, and then 54 miles of no man's land. No rest areas, no ranches, no gas station or cafes. So we said goodbye to the Biglers. This is a couple that we had met, and they had let us camp in their yard. And we filled up a half-gallon milk jug for extra water. So we had all of our water bottles, which would have been 6 water bottles plus a half a gallon milk jug for extra water. Well, I'm happy to report the ride was great. We flew for the first 20 miles. It was pretty cliffs all around us from the swell. So that was the geography in the area. And I guess we were both feeling really good. We rode for a while trying to find a good turnoff. Finally, we just pulled over when Jenny had to go potty.
Stop.
She would yell out potty stop whenever she wanted to go and play with rocks on the side of the road or pet a horse. And Todd announced, "This is where we will have lunch." So we leaned our bikes on a post, climbed up to a hill, and ate our lunch there watching the cars go by. While I was watching Jen eat, it occurred to me then, wow, what an incredible child we have. Teary-eyed. Here we were in the desert, hot and dry, sitting on a tarp with the sun beating on us, and she was laughing, talking, and having a great time. Of course, I knew before then how great she was, but that moment it hit me. Like, wow, she is so cool. I love that page.
I was thinking the same thing about you. I'm like, wow, they're so cool. Look at this rock.
But it was a very remote area, and you were just phenomenal. I really do feel like, even though you may not remember those memories, I feel that they were so huge in the development of who you are, your resiliency, because it was so difficult, and you were so friendly on that trip. You made friends everywhere. Like whether they friends. Wanted to be your friend or not, you would run after yeah. them. Hey, like, let's play. Be my friend. But you you were just finding the joy in every little thing. I mean, when you talk about zest, I mean, you were just like the zesty kid out there, just making, I mean, it's kind of a crazy thing. You're sitting in a Burley trailer.
With a bunch of stickers from the...
Well, the Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead and...
Yeah, and Bikes Coke Not Bellies. Bombs with, yeah, bikes with the stickers, you know? And, you know, in the back there, you had your stuffed animal and you had toys and coloring books and we would ride along and sing and... I mean, you were really phenomenal. You were really phenomenal. Both you and your sister are mm-hmm. phenomenal human beings. You know, you take a lot of joy in just living. Mm. Just living. Mm. And enjoying those moments. I mean, I hope that's something that we've passed on to both of you girls, is just to be in that moment. You know, people talk about bucket lists, and they have the things written on there, those things that they want to do, and they seem to quickly check them off, but yet not really enjoy that moment yeah. that they're in.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
You know, I mean, honey, it gets back to what you were saying with that zest, you know, doing those things, but just appreciating and enjoying just those little things, you know, being in that moment. And you, yeah. you girls have just done such a phenomenal job in that. You've done remarkable things in your life, things that have been really uncomfortable and kind of scary, and you've relished all of those moments. That's phenomenal.
Well, I think I just every time you share something about, you know, that trip, and I'm like blown away. And I think the older I get and really having a better understanding of what it entailed and the preparation and the trust and like the confidence and it's an amazing thing, and something that I've really admired is that foundation that you guys built together and the family you've created, that you've continued to cultivate that in your relationship now and in the lives you live now. I mean, when I was living in New York, I remember when you left your job and you went to Crater Lake to be a park ranger. Were you park ranger? What was your title? I don't think I ever...
I worked on the rim of Crater Lake mm-hmm. in their mm-hmm. store, and worked with tourists. Yeah. The ranger station was further away, so a lot of time was spent telling people where to hike, yeah. telling them about the park and about the lake, and yeah, that was a phenomenal experience.
Yeah,
that was quite a summer for all of us.
That was I'll never forget, because that was a summer where... I left my dream job. That was the wild summer where I worked at Justin Timberlake's restaurant and was trying to figure my life, getting ready to go to Bali. And Luke's like, let's take, because I got a 2-week severance package. And Luke's like, let's go and surprise your mom. We'll go drive down to San Francisco, spend 4th of July there, come back, go to join Kelsey's wedding. And we had to be so good, like trying to figure out when you were working, what your schedule was. And I'll never forget, you're in the souvenir shop or something, and you have your back turned to me. And I'm like, I'm going to go walk up behind my mom. She has no idea. You have no idea. I'm even like
no idea.
On this road trip. Mm-mm. And just, yeah, that was just surprise you. And you turn around. You,
I was shocked.
The look on your face was like,
shocked.
That was a good day.
You didn't even know who I was. It was a great day.
You know, and that summer, I think is very representative of our family mm-hmm. in that we are team nutting, right?
Yeah.
We support one another.
Oh, 100%.
And that was the year you were living in New York City and you called and you said, please don't be disappointed in me.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I'm not making the difference that I want to make by... working at Women's Health Magazine. So I want to quit my job and I want to learn how to teach yoga. And I don't want to just take a course in the United States.
Nope.
I want to go to Indonesia. So in the meantime, while you're doing that, I went to the family and I said, okay, one of my dreams has always been to work in a national park. How would you feel if mommy quit both of her jobs, left the family for 6 months, and went to live in a national park? And I sincerely asked you guys what you felt, because I knew, whoa, I'm a weird person, but this is really weird. Yeah, what do you think?
We all helped you pack your bags.
And you all were just like, Mom, that is so cool. Yeah. You need to go do that. And then Reba said, oh, by the way, I'm going to go to France.
That's right. Oh, my God.
And I am going to, I'm going to go study abroad and then I'm going to travel. Yeah. And, you know, so we all three were fulfilling things that we felt that we needed to do. You know, maybe they didn't make sense, but, you know, another thing that we always tell you guys is no regrets. You don't ever want to look back at your life and think, I wish I'd worked at a national park. I wish I had gone to Indonesia. I wish that I had studied abroad in France, because, you know, so many people want to just play it safe. You know, those things may not make sense, but we want to do it. And your dad that year got a new bike and did some of the best biking he had done since we toured. And he was very supportive of all of us. And I don't know, boy, that really defines our family, doesn't it?
It was a summer of adventure for everyone.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And we supported one another, and we cheered each other on. Yeah. Like, what you're doing, it may not make a lot of sense, but it makes sense to you. And you feel deep in your heart that that's something that you need to do.
Yeah.
And that's an example of, I mean, what a strong family does, right? I mean, we support ourselves and, you know, want to do a lot of things together as a family, but at the same time, understanding that there are a lot of things you need to do individually, but we're still going to be there for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I remember coming back, seeing you, Dad, because I think we came back and I don't know, I'm trying to remember exactly, but we were doing something, celebrating a birthday or doing something. And I just remember you talking like about Mom, and that was a really cool summer to see your guys' relationship and just the impact that that had. You know, you would always say like absence makes the heart grow fonder, and like that summer, and then watching the two of you come back together. That was really cool. Like, I'm curious, what did that absence do for your relationship at that point?
Oh, wow. A lot. No,
yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
were like newlyweds when we got back together.
You couldn't keep your hands off each other.
That's not true.
Come on, now.
No, we were like newlyweds.
You were. You
it's
really
like
were.
We
it
had.
Really cool.
We, being away from each other, we really started appreciating the things that we do for one another, and why it is that we love each other and that we got married. I mean, and even now, you know, being away for that period of time, I feel like we just really appreciate one another. And we realize just what a great life we have. Mm-hmm. I mean, wouldn't you say?
No, definitely. That
what a great family we have, and what a great life. And it's given us an appreciation and a thankfulness for everything that we have, our home, our family, our jobs, where we live. It gave us a very deep appreciation for our life. Would you agree, or was your experience different? This is a test.
No,
time to gain back some points.
No, I would definitely agree. I mean, again, the whole family being separated. It wasn't just your mom and me, but our whole family was separated for that.
Yeah.
For chunks of time during the almost 3 year period, right? Mm-hmm. Where you were in New York, and again, your sister did her study abroad in France. But you just really appreciate those unique things about each other as individuals. And also appreciate and miss being together as a family and being able to do a lot of the things that, that you can so easily take for granted, you know, whether it's celebrating a birthday and, you know, your mom's chocolate cake when I tried to make her that same recipe that year for you and your sister. And it was like, holy cow, this does not taste like your mom's chocolate cake.
But it still tasted like it was made with love.
But yeah.
I remember that. Wow. Well, I feel like we could have gone and made this into like two episodes, but I did want to finish by asking you some lightning round questions.
Oh, no.
This
oh,
is payback for all those years competing.
So we're going to have to think quickly.
Lightning. The good news is you know the answer to all these questions.
Oh, so.
Okay. So we'll start off really just easy. And I thought of just things that, you know, growing up that we did. And so first off, if you could go to the British Columbia or the Oregon coast, where would you go?
Oregon coast, without a doubt.
Cuna Caves. What do you mean? What's the question?
Oh, well, if you could go to British, like, because we would go to British, that was often where I remembered that we would go, is like we went to British Columbia. Usually we would go to Oregon coast, but like now, if you could go to either one.
Well, I mean, we, lightning round, so lightning answer.
Oh, good grief.
This is a long lightning storm.
Oregon coast is awesome. Lots of great memories. I would like to go back to British Columbia, though, because it's been so long since I've been there. Yeah. And it's a beautiful part of the country. Or
stunning.
Of Canada.
North America.
Yeah. If you could relive any year, what would it be?
Oh, my gosh. I know.
There's a lot of good years. But isn't that something cool to like be happy about, that you have so many good years to choose from?
I know. We have so many great years. You know, maybe it was that year that we all did take off and do our thing and then got back together again, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal year.
If you could travel anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Well, we're going to Detroit this fall.
I've always wanted to go to Detroit. I would, anywhere in the world, honestly, I think I would go to New England and just do it, just do a tour. You know, I used to live in Vermont when Dad and I first met. We love Massachusetts.
I feel like you guys wouldn't come back, though, if you would go to New England. You would actually, like, find a home and you would stay there.
No, we'd come back because you girls are here. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that you both will always live in the Northwest.
Yeah.
Where totally. Would you want to go in the world, honey?
I'd probably want to go someplace in Europe just to experience the history and culture that, you know, we definitely don't have that same length of history and culture here in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. Would you be on your bike or would you be?
It depends on how much time I have. Yeah. I mean, your mom would agree, but I think by bike is the best way to travel and see an area.
Yeah.
But if you're pressed for time, then there's sacrifices you have to make.
What's something you've learned from the generation before you?
Like our parents? Mm-hmm. Definitely. I've been thinking about my dad a lot and his message of slowing down. And the past couple of years, I've been forcing myself, because we do move so fast as a family, but just really slowing down and just enjoying those mundane moments.
Yeah, and I think just we still have my dad, and when my mom passed, they were just about 72 years of being married, and they were still very much in love with each other, and they would do anything for each other, as well as their families. And so just, again, commitment to family and looking to spend time and share experiences with the family. Again, you know, my dad was a college professor, so he had the whole summer off, and as I grew up, you know, I would spend 3 months traveling in a RV with my parents. So I was able to, you know, see lots of parts of the country, but again, experience everything with them as well. Mm. And you know, just like your trip, in the back of a Burley trailer for 2 months, you know, shaped a lot of things about you, you know, experiences traveling with my parents also, helped shape me.
So then flipping that, what's advice that you would give to future generations? One piece of advice.
I would say put down all the gadgets.
put
them down. This is why I think that we're not hearing the stories and building those bonds that we need to, because we are so distracted. Put down the gadgets and be in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Respect each other and respect the world around you.
Yeah. Okay, my last one's a fun one.
These weren't fun?
No, they are, but I feel like that was really serious and really great advice too. Okay, so the last question. You're on a deserted island.
Oh, Lord.
You can bring one type of food, or you can have one type of food. It just magically appears for you. This isn't a realistic thing, but it's fun. One type of beverage, one tool, one book, one artist that you can listen to music-wise, and then one activity. And if you want to make this really hard, you can choose one dog.
Holy cow.
Oh, boy.
So what's the type of food that you would have?
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter. That's the food group, peanut butter.
I love peanut butter. And it gives you energy.
Yes.
And I need energy.
Yeah.
Chicken.
Chicken. Pizza. One beverage.
Coffee.
I'm going to be raving around the island, just running around.
Energy, peanut butter, coffee. Energy. Whoop, whoop.
Dr. Pepper Zero.
Okay. I say coconut water. One tool.
A hammer. No.
Okay.
A saw.
Yeah. One of those axe things with the big wood, because then you could kind of use it as a hammer. Mm-hmm. It's not very safe, but, you know, you're on a deserted island. Nothing's safe.
I would take a hammer.
You'd take a hammer. I like that. Okay, one book. This is going to be really hard.
I love to read.
I know.
You go first, honey.
I'd bring an encyclopedia.
I knew you were going to say that. Just <'cause. Jeez. laughs> Well, because you're sharpening your mind. Like, you're constantly learning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a really smart answer.
That's good. What would you say, Genevieve?
Oh, man. I don't know. I love that book, All About Ove or something.
Ooh, like A Man Called Ove?
Yeah, because it just That's makes me book. Feel good and happy. But I love that book I told you, Midnight Library. Hmm. I feel like I could just read it over and over again. I don't know. I'd want something, though, that was really... You know what? I'd probably bring something that had multiple stories, like Humans of New York, where you're learning about people and feels different.
I would say The History of Love by Nicole Krauss.
That's the book. That's the book.
I love that book.
Yes. Not A Man Called Ove. Ove.
Yeah.
Oh, great book. Okay, one music artist that you could listen to. And you can bring them on the island with you. Let's just get crazy.
Ooh, Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah. Really?
Yep, no. My peanut butter, my coffee, and Jimmy Buffett. What?
I feel like he's going to be like, chill, and like, I'm on an island. And you're like, let's party. I got coffee. He's got his margarita. He's like, I'm just chill.
He's in Margaritaville.
Yeah.
This could be boring. I'd bring Chopin.
Oh, because he would relax you. I love Chopin. But he also has really fun stuff.
Yeah, and it would remind me of my dad.
I'm bringing Steven Tyler.
Ooh, right on.
We would have so much fun, I wouldn't even care. I don't need anything else.
So we actually get to bring these people with us?
So you're bringing Jimmy Buffett.
I could hang out with Jimmy. You're bringing Chopin. That will be fun. Yeah.
Just leave his casket in the corner. And oh,
nice, gosh. Honey.
Oh, man. Okay, what was the last one? One activity that you could do.
Bike.
Oh, on an island?
Well,
you're in the sand the whole time.
You didn't say how big the
island Cycle
is.
Bar.
Oh, you just bring a stationary. Yeah, a stationary bike. Yeah. I feel like that thing's going to rust. But yeah, actually, I would probably bring a stationary bike because then you're getting activity.
Or a boat if you want to get off the island.
Moana style. Like, how are you getting off the island? You have no experience. Well, maybe your encyclopedia will tell you how to. Get off the island.
And we'll use mom's hammer.
Yeah, and coffee. Everyone row. Jimmy Buffett. I bet he'd be a good rower.
Get in there, Jimmy.
Oh, man.
Chopin.
Oh, gosh.
Man. Okay, Shakespeare. Time to go to bed.
Okay, Shakespeare.
I love grandma.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Well, we are done. That is it.
That wasn't painful. Like,
I want to do that all morning.
Okay, well, next Friday. Oh, well, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. Thank you for giving birth to me. Happy I was going to ask you what time I was born, but I know that this is a difficult question.
It's like 10:30
in the morning or night?
And I thought it was between 12 and 1.
See, this is
why
we
think you're right. I think you're right. Ooh,
wow.
It was hard.
We'll figure it out.
What was harder, birth or the bike trip to Mexico?
Oh, gosh. That'll be the second part of the podcast. Well, thank you. Thank you. I was going to usually at the end I say where people can find you, but you're at Cycle Bar sometimes. You're at Cycle Bar sometimes. Sometimes you're on the stories. But I want to say thank you so much just for spending time with me this morning. And let's go get some guru donuts, shall we?
Well, honey, thank you so much. We love you. Happy birthday.
Thank you. All right, Life Sessers, thank you so much for listening. Again, if you liked this, leave a comment, leave a review. And if there's someone who you would like to see on Your Zest Life podcast, send it my way. You can find me at Genevieve_Nutting-Howarth on Instagram as well as Facebook, but Instagram's most responsive. I'm going to go celebrate my birthday. I've got a Coachella Festival cycle ride tonight, and then we're doing a pool party. I've got neon yellow nails right now, so I'm ready to rally. I hope that after you listen to this, you do something super fun and throw yourself a dance party, do something that makes you feel zesty, and I will see you at the next podcast. Bye, guys. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nutting-Howarth and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.